That talk gave us a lot to think about, and it really piqued our interest in the drama we are about to see. As we prepare for the drama, please keep in mind that no one is allowed anywhere on or around the stage to take pictures during the drama. Although video recorders and other cameras are permitted, if operated from your seat, please be considerate of others by not blocking their view. And please, do not use flash or any other form of electronic lighting. No cameras or recording devices are to be connected to the electrical or sound system at the convention, nor should equipment be placed in aisles or in traffic areas. A word of advice can be quite helpful when we are facing difficult decisions or new situations, but even well-intentioned advice can be harmful if it is wrong. If a fellow believer were to suggest that you do something questionable, how would you react? The characters in the drama you're about to watch find themselves in that very predicament. These scenes are based on actual events recorded at 1 Kings chapter 13. We invite you now to enjoy the drama. To whose authority do you submit?
Us, Jadua. Why do you want to go to Jerusalem?
We realize you're a priest, Jadua, but Jeroboam said it's all right for us to worship Jehovah right here in Bethel. We don't have to make the journey to Jerusalem.
Nabai, Joiada, Jeroboam doesn't have the authority to make up his own rules in matters of worship. 3 times a year we worship Jehovah at the temple in Jerusalem, just as our forefathers did.
Well, I don't know how our forefathers did it. 3 times a year? Do we really need to go to worship that often? I'm telling you, we have too many festivals. And frankly, the priests in Judah can't possibly understand our circumstances here in Bethel. That's a whole different land there. And I'll tell you something else, Jadua. Something my brother Joiada here already knows.
What is it, Nabai?
The last festival, I miss the first day.
Nabai, how could you do that? The festival is a time of worship.
I realize that, but put yourself in my sandals, Jadua. I have a family to feed. Don't you realize what it takes to make a living these days? I can't just walk away from my business whenever I choose. Besides, I was at the festival for most of the proceedings. I only missed the first day. My business made it necessary.
Necessary? Necessary to miss the festival?
It was only the first day. Oh, look, Jadua, I don't expect you to understand. You're a priest. You have all your needs taken care of. But I have to work to put food on the table.
Nabai, I can assure you that the Levites' work is demanding, too. But the worship of Jehovah takes precedence over any business concern.
I tried to explain that to him, Jadua. It was useless.
And now it's irrelevant. Jeroboam has solved the entire problem by saying we can worship right here in Bethel.
Worship what, Nabai? The golden calf that Jeroboam has set up?
The calf is just an aid, Jadua. Something we can look at. It helps me to focus better when I can actually see what I'm worshiping.
Really, Nabai? What about the law? Jehovah has plainly commanded, you must not make for yourself a carved image. You must not have any other gods against my face.
But the golden calves aren't idols. They merely represent Jehovah. Personally, I appreciate Jeroboam's taking the initiative to set up the golden calves. And here's another thing I appreciate. Jeroboam realizes that it is just too much for us to go all the way to Jerusalem. They have an entirely different set of circumstances there.
Nabai, ask yourself, why is it too much for us to go to Jerusalem? Didn't our forefathers make the journey 3 times a year?
Yes, but as I said, Jadua, times are different now. I'm just not up to making a day's journey to Jerusalem. People are under much more pressure today than our forefathers were. And think of those poor souls way up north in Dan. They'd have to walk for 5 days to get to Jerusalem. No wonder Jeroboam built another altar for them.
An altar to false gods, with false priests officiating.
What do you mean, false priests?
Nabai, Joyada, think about this carefully. Certain truths never change. Jehovah has chosen his priests from among the Levites.
But...
Wait, Nabai. The law tells us that the only ones to serve as priests are of the tribe of Levi.
Then why won't the Levites stay here in Bethel? Why won't you stay?
But Jeroboam has dismissed all the priests. That includes you, Jadua.
That's right, Joiada. And let me ask you something else. Why do you think Jeroboam constructed an altar here in Bethel and another one up in Dan? Is it just a matter of convenience?
Well, no, Jadua. I suppose he's also concerned.
Concerned about what, Joiada?
Well, I suppose he's worried that if everybody goes to Jerusalem, they'll be stepping into Rehoboam's territory.
And just why should that concern Jeroboam?
Well, that's obvious, Jadua. Rehoboam would like nothing more than to weaken Jeroboam's kingship. It only makes sense for Jeroboam to want to keep his people here.
Nabai, listen to your own words. You admit that Jeroboam made this arrangement to strengthen his kingship, not to bring honor to Jehovah. But didn't Ahijah the prophet assure Jeroboam that he would prosper if he submitted to Jehovah's authority?
Look, Jadua, we have 2 kingdoms now, one in the north and one in the south. It was God's will that the kingdom be divided.
The kingdom, yes, but not that true worship be divided, Nabai. God's law states that only Levites of the house of Aaron can be priests, and that we should not bow down to carved images.
I still say we should do what Jeroboam says.
Maybe that's because Jeroboam is saying what you want to hear.
Be careful about what you say, Jadua.
Wait, what do you mean, Jadua?
Times are different now. Isn't that what you said a moment ago, Nabai? The trip to Jerusalem is tedious. It's a long walk, almost a day's walk, a tremendous sacrifice for those who would rather spare themselves the effort. Besides, you have a business to run. It's a relief, isn't it, Nabai, to hear the king say, you don't have to make that long journey.
Guard your tongue, Jadua. King Jeroboam is just being, well, he's just being reasonable.
Reasonable, Nabai? Or is he being independent? Nabai, Joiada, what it comes down to is this. All Israel must decide to serve either Jehovah or Jeroboam's golden calves. Many have taken their stand on Jehovah's side. That's what I have done. You must decide what you will do before it is too late.
How many times do I have to tell you, Jadua? We are not turning away from Jehovah.
Nabai, think about what happened when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, only to find the Israelites had made a golden calf. Thousands of people were destroyed on that day for their apostasy.
This is not apostasy, Jadua.
Goodbye, Nabai and Joiada. Joiada, I pray that you will have a change of heart before you go astray any further. Please, my brothers, be careful about seeking independence from Jehovah's way. Lean on Jehovah, not on your own understanding. Thank you.
Jadua left, just like that? I still can't believe what you're saying. Jadua the priest has deserted us?
Well, he didn't exactly desert us, Ada. Jeroboam dismissed the Levites and set up his own priesthood, which he had no right to do.
He's a king, Joiada. Don't forget that. King Jeroboam.
Yes, Nabai, I realize that. But the Levites are teachers of God's law. And now Jeroboam has dismissed them? I have to be honest, Nabai. Ada, I have serious doubts about what King Jeroboam is doing.
Why, Joiada?
No king has the right to take such an independent course and ignore what is written. Jadua is right. The law clearly states that only those of the house of Aaron are to serve as priests.
So Jadua was dismissed as a priest?
Yes. And he insists on going to Jerusalem and worshiping Jehovah in the way that Jehovah says he is to be worshipped.
Of every Levite or priest I've known, I have always thought that Jadua was the most stubborn. You'd think he'd have more concern for our wives and our children.
Nabai. It's Jeroboam who is threatening the spiritual welfare of our families.
What type of men did Jeroboam appoint as priests?
From what I'm hearing, they're close friends of his. People he considers loyal. Loyal to him, that is. I'm even hearing word that some people have bought their way into the priesthood.
We don't know that for sure, Joiada.
Still, what Jadua told us disturbs me. After all, the priests appointed by Jeroboam are hardly men of the same spirit as the Levites, who have been appointed by Jehovah. Nabai, could it be that, as Jadua put it, we're only listening to what we want to hear?
Listen, Joiada, what are we supposed to do? You say that Jeroboam is independent. I say he's reasonable. He's expanded the priesthood, and he's made it possible for us to worship Jehovah right here in our hometown.
But he doesn't have the authority to do that, Nabai. That's what I've been telling you all along.
Look, you two are brothers. Why should you argue?
Whether we agree with King Jeroboam or not, he has summoned us to a sacrifice. And he doesn't like to be disappointed. Joiada, are you coming?
I will go along to see what Jeroboam is up to, if nothing else.
Aren't you going to Jerusalem for the festival?
We don't have to go, Ethan. Didn't you hear? King Jeroboam made a place for us to worship right here in Bethel.
You mean that altar with that weird-looking calf?
Watch what you say, Ethan. That calf represents Jehovah.
That calf can't represent Jehovah.
Can't so. That's what Father told me.
Well, my father says Jehovah doesn't like idols.
Well, my father's a priest, and he says it's all right.
How can your father be a priest? Your family isn't even of the tribe of Levi.
Doesn't matter, Ethan. Father says King Jeroboam changed all that. Besides, we can't go to Jerusalem anyway.
Why not?
Father has too much work this time of year, and he says that going to Jerusalem could even be dangerous.
Dangerous? Why?
I'm not sure I understand it all. Something about the king there. His name is Rabban, or something like that. Anyway, Father says that Rabban wants to take over all the tribes up here. Who knows, Ethan? When we're old enough, we may have to fight Rabban.
Well, I don't know about that, Rahab. And by the way, his name is Rehoboam.
Well, whatever his name is. Ethan, there's something else I know that you don't know.
What?
I can't tell.
Come on, I'm your best friend, Rahab. You have to tell.
Well, all right. King Jeroboam is holding a festival right here in Bethel.
A festival? What kind of festival?
Well, I don't know exactly. Only, it's going to be a lot more fun than the festival in Jerusalem.
Something's not right, Rahab. The only festivals I know of are the ones we have in Jerusalem.
Well, as I said, Ethan, the king changed all that. There was going to be all kinds of food, too. Date cakes, raisin cakes, figs, honey treats, every kind of sweet you can imagine.
Well, that sounds nice, Rahab, but all the food in the world still can't make calf worship right.
How many times do I have to tell you, Ethan? Nobody's worshiping a calf. We worship Jehovah.
No, Rahab, you can't do both. Think about what happened in Moses' day. 3,000 people died for worshiping a golden calf.
But that was a long time ago.
It doesn't matter, Rahab. They were doing the same thing, worshiping a golden calf. And Jehovah was angry about it.
But Ethan, the golden calf we have was put here by the king.
That doesn't matter, Rahab. Jehovah is against calf worship. Look, you're my best friend, and I don't want what happened to the calf worshippers in Moses' day to happen to you.
I don't know, Ethan. I think you're just trying to spoil my fun. It's just a festival, and we don't have to travel, because it's being held right here.
Ma'am!
Wait! Father's calling me. I have to go.
Go then, Rahab. But think about what I said, and I'll see you when I get back from Jerusalem.
Layden! Don't tell me you're a priest, too! You could never even learn the history of the patriarchs, much less the law.
May Jehovah bless you, and make his peace shine upon you, Joyada and Nabai, my dear brother.
How did you get to be priest?
I've always wanted to be one. It seems so unfair, the way the priesthood was confined to some of the Levites.
But the Levites had to work hard.
Well, it's hardly fitting for a priest to work when he can be waited on.
It's never been fitting for you to do hard work. So, Layden, is it true that you paid the king to get into the priesthood?
What else could Jeroboam do? The Levites and the priests have all gone. Someone had to fill their sandals. I only did what was necessary.
Layden, you know that Jeroboam dismissed the priests because they wouldn't go along with his calf worship. Do you think it was right for him to do that?
By means of a young bull and 7 rams, I filled my hand with power and became a priest.
I wonder if that's a new qualification for the priesthood.
Well, that's the rule the king made. What's the matter, Joyada? Are you questioning his authority? He obviously knows more about the law than you do.
I know the law well enough to know that the only priesthood Jehovah has authorized is that of the Levites.
But Joyada, if Jehovah was so displeased at what Jeroboam is doing, wouldn't he have already condemned him? Wouldn't God's anger have already consumed this altar?
Your brother speaks truth, Joyada. You keep thinking that the only way to understand the law is the way the priests teach it. Think for yourself. There are other interpretations, you know.
How can you say that, Layden? Think about what's happening here. Jeroboam has dismissed the priests. They have left for Jerusalem. You, on the other hand, have set yourself up as a...
Set myself up? I might remind you that King Jeroboam himself has installed me as priest.
Is that all right, my lord?
Higher on the shoulder. It shouldn't sag.
But, Layden, the law has set forth clear instructions on matters of worship. It's not up to us. It's not even up to the king to change or interpret the laws that Jehovah established. That would be striking out on an independent course.
Well, what's wrong with that? Independence seems to suit me just fine. Look, Joyda, you have your own mind. Jehovah wouldn't have given it to you if he didn't want you to use it. Did you not? Good day, O Jeroboam, our king.
Peace be with you, Laden. Nabai, Joyda, how is your father? Why is he not here?
We're not sure, O king.
When the king offers sacrifices, the prophet should be here.
Well, of course, our father is advanced in age, and...
Bid him well.
As you say, my lord.
We shall do so.
Let us proceed. I shall make sacrificial smoke this day on the altar. This golden calf is your God, O Israel. He brought you up out of the land of Egypt. He has caused you to...
Altar! Altar!
Who are you?
This is what Jehovah has said.
How dare you interrupt the king?
Wait, quiet. I'm curious. I want to hear what this madman has to say.
Look, a son born to the house of David, whose name is Josiah.
The house of David? This is treacherous talk.
And he will certainly sacrifice upon you the priests of the high places that are making sacrificial smoke upon you, and men's bones he will burn upon you.
Joyda, he can't speak that way about the priests, and to the king's face at that.
Surely he will
this
die.
This is the portent of which Jehovah has spoken. Look, the altar is ripped apart, and the fatty ashes that are upon it will certainly be spilled out.
You men, grab hold of him!
Look, the king's hand, unable to draw back to himself.
This man is a true prophet of God, Nabai. How can you deny it?
I think it's a trick.
Soften, please, the face of Jehovah your God, and pray in my behalf that my hand may be restored to me.
Now where is your golden calf, Nabai? The king pleads for Jehovah to restore his hand.
I still say that this is some sort of trick. Rehoboam has sent this foreigner to afflict our king.
I don't think so, Nabai. I think this man has been sent by Jehovah to make it clear that he disapproves of what Jeroboam is doing.
But Jeroboam is merely making a few refinements to the law. He's making it easier for us.
Wait, look. The man of God is getting up.
And the king's hand is being restored.
Certainly you are a man of the true God.
By the word of Jehovah, I have come out of Judah.
Do come with me to the house, man of the true God, and take sustenance, and let me give you a gift.
If you gave me half of your house, I would not come with you and eat bread or drink water in this place. For that is the way he commanded me by the word of Jehovah, saying, you must not eat bread or drink water, and you must not return by the way that you went. That is the word of Jehovah, which I shall obey.
Broken too? Without anyone touching it? How can that be? Is the man some sort of magician?
I'm telling you, it was the strangest thing I've ever seen. The king's hand instantly withered up.
That's impossible.
Nabai, you're the one who said that Jehovah would destroy the altar if he disapproved of Jeroboam's reforms. You saw what happened. The altar broke right in two.
There must be some explanation, Joyda. If we just look hard enough...
The explanation is simple. We really don't have to look any further than the law, Nabai. Jehovah commanded our forefathers to destroy the altars, the sacred pillars, the sacred poles, and the graven images of the Canaanites.
The golden calves are not from the Canaanites, Joiada. Jeroboam had them made.
That doesn't mean that it was right for him Joiada, to do so.
Joiada, I have to agree with my husband. Why make such a fuss? After all, Jeroboam knows more about such things than we do.
And besides, if it's so wrong to bow down to these calves, would the king tell us to do it?
Hira, Nabai, I can't help but think about what happened when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, only to see the Israelites bowing down to a golden calf. Doesn't that dark day in our history indicate how Jehovah feels about what is going on now?
That's in the past, Ada. Times have changed. Life is hard. We need to make adjustments. Jehovah knows that.
But as I've tried to explain to your husband, Sira, we cannot adjust the law. We must find ways to simplify our life. And Jehovah detests calf worship. Nabai, my brother, I have to be honest. It sounds to me as if you're hiding behind Jeroboam's authority just to do what you want.
Sira and I could talk to you about this until the new moon, and we wouldn't get anywhere. Why don't we talk to our father, Joiada? He's a prophet. He has been serving Jehovah for many years. Surely he will tell us what the right view of this matter is.
Returned, my sons.
Yes, and we must tell you what happened.
Yes. Tell me what happened at the sacrifice, and what was all the commotion I heard going on throughout the city.
It's about the sacrificial smoke the king was offering.
What happened?
There came a man of God from Judah, Father. Even as Jeroboam, the king, was standing by the altar to make sacrificial smoke, the man of God approached and spoke a judgment from Jehovah.
What did he say, Nabai, my son?
Oh, something about a son from the house of David.
Tell the full story, Nabai.
He said that the son from David's house would be named Josiah, and that he would...
What did he say? Tell me exactly what he said.
The man of God said that Josiah will sacrifice upon the altar in Bethel the priests of the high places. He even said that Josiah would burn the men's bones upon the altar, or something to that effect. Then... this man of God gave a portent.
A portent?
I was going to mention that.
The altar was ripped apart, and the fatty ashes were spilled out. The king put out his hand, and it withered up. He couldn't pull it back to himself until the man of God softened the face of Jehovah.
And how did the king respond?
The king invited him to his house to take sustenance and to receive a gift.
Did the man of God accompany him?
No, he didn't.
In fact, Father, the man of God told the king, "If you gave me half of your house, I would not come with you." He said that right to the king's face. And he said that this was what Jehovah had commanded him.
I would be interested in hearing what this man of God has to say. Tell me, my sons, which way did he go?
He took that little used road that leads back to Judah.
Not the one by which he came. For he said that Jehovah had forbidden him to return that way.
Sadly ask for me, and hurry.
few minutes of rest will refresh both me and my animal. I'm famished. I'm thirsty, too. Yet Jehovah has said that I must not eat bread or drink water in this place. It's a wise command. The sons of Israel have gone after the golden calf. Intimate association with such idolaters could lead to my own downfall.
Are you the man of the true God who has come out of Judah?
Yes, I am.
Word has spread throughout the city about what happened at the sacrifice. Truly, you have God's power and blessing. And the words you spoke, why, no one has spoken in such a way to the king.
I spoke only the message that I had been given by Jehovah.
Yes, yes, a message from Jehovah, spoken by such a bold and fearless prophet. But now, you are tired from your journey, and no doubt hungry and thirsty. Please, go with me to my house and eat bread with me and my son.
I'm not able to go back with you, or to come in with you, and I may not eat bread or drink water with you in this place.
And why is this so?
It has been spoken to me by the word of Jehovah. You must not eat bread or drink water there. You must not go back again by the way by which you went.
Is that all? Well, I have good news for you. I too am a prophet, like you. And earlier today, an angel himself spoke to me by the word of Jehovah, saying, have him come back with you to your house, that he may eat bread and drink water.
An angel? A messenger of Jehovah told you this?
Indeed.
That sounds so good, for I am very hungry and thirsty. After all, you are a prophet. Surely there would be no harm in eating just a small morsel with you.
Then come with me to my house, for the angel did speak to me by the word of Jehovah that it should be so.
How many times must we go over the same thing? Father brought back the man of God. Even now, Father is washing the man's feet.
Father deceived him. No angel ever spoke to Father. But why would he do such a thing?
I don't know. But if Jaden were really a man of God, would he have come so quickly with Father? Wouldn't he have asked for direction from Jehovah first, to be sure that this was the right thing to do?
Are you willing to apply the same reasoning to yourself, Nabai? Would you inquire of Jehovah, rather than simply believing words that you wanted to hear? Besides, I've been reading the law.
You're no expert in the law.
I found this scroll that I had copied myself from Jaddua. Listen, in case a prophet arises in your midst, saying, let us walk after other gods, and let us serve them, you must not listen to the words of that prophet. And that prophet should be put to death, because he has spoken of revolt against Jehovah your God.
Watch, you don't speak treason against the king, Joyada. Didn't the law also say that we would set up a king over ourselves? And shouldn't we obey him? What do you really know about the law?
But the king keeps telling us to bow down to a golden calf. That is clearly in defiance of Jehovah's law. And why did Jeroboam take it upon himself to dismiss all the Levites from service?
These matters are over our heads, Joyada.
Nabai, our first loyalty should be to Jehovah and to his law. Nothing is over our heads if we stick close to the law and to the representatives, the Levites that Jehovah has provided. But wait, here comes Father now, with Jaden.
How refreshing it was to walk through your garden.
Look, my sons have spread a table for you. Let us eat and drink.
You know, when you were washing my feet, I must tell you that I was jealous that they were being watered while my throat was so dry.
You will find that our water is cool and delightful.
And the bread is fresh from the oven.
It is hot. And it smells so good.
But it is good. Here, it's even better with this olive oil from the king's own estate.
What is the trouble with Father? Sometimes he has these attacks.
He's old, you know.
Yes, but I've never seen him look like this. Maybe we'd better help him.
Man of the true God who has come out of Judah.
What's wrong? Why are you speaking this way?
This is what Jehovah has said. For the reason that you rebelled against the order of Jehovah and did not keep the commandment with which Jehovah your God commanded you, but you went back that you might eat bread and drink water in the place about which he spoke to you, do not eat bread or drink water. Your dead body will not come into the burial place of your forefathers.
I must go quickly. I must go now.
I came as quickly as I could. I still can't believe what happened.
What is it, Layden?
I heard a report that I couldn't believe. So I went and saw for myself.
What did you see, Layden? Tell us.
I heard that a dead body was found lying on a road that leads to Judah. But that's not all. There was a lion standing on one side of the body and an ass standing beside it on the other. I saw it myself.
A dead body? A couple of animals? What is so strange about that, Layden?
The man... the dead body was that of the prophet who foretold that the priests of Jeroboam would be sacrificed upon their own altar. He's dead. And what is even stranger is that the lion didn't harm the ass. And the ass wasn't frightened by the lion.
Did the men bring back the body?
No.
Why not?
Perhaps they feared becoming unclean by touching a dead body. Or maybe they didn't bring the body back because there was a lion standing by it. Did you ever think of that? In any event, that's the news. Farewell, my friends.
Goodbye, Layden.
What is it, Father?
Jehovah gave Jaden the prophet to the lion, that he might crush him and put him to death, according to the word of Jehovah that he spoke to him. Too bad, my brother. Too bad, my brother.
What should we do?
We shall go and lift up his dead body and deposit it in my own burial place.
What is the meaning of that, Father?
When I die, you must bury me in the burial place in which the man of the true God is buried. Beside his bones, deposit my own bones. Without fail, the word that he called out by the word of Jehovah against the altar that is in Bethel and against all the houses of the high places that are in the cities of Samaria will take place.
It is just as I said. He was a true prophet.
Yet he rebelled against the word of Jehovah.
Don't you see, Nabai? If Jehovah would judge a prophet for one act of disobedience, how can we stand before him if our entire life course is one of independence?
Perhaps that's the way you see it, Joyda. But I still feel that it's my duty to listen to Jeroboam.
How can you say that, Nabai? The Levites have given us clear direction for true worship. They've stuck to the law. It's not difficult to see that they are the channel that Jehovah is
using. I'm sorry, Joyda. I'm staying here.
Your problem is not with the prophet Jaden's credibility, but with the implications of his credibility. If he's from God, then you will have to listen to what he said. It's your decision, Nabai. But as for me, I'm going to Judah where Jadua is. I cannot serve the golden calves. Already, I must ask Jehovah's forgiveness for being present when the king offered sacrifices.
Let us first take the body of the man of the true God and bury it as I have spoken.
I will help bury the man of God, as you say. But then I will go to Judah to do the will of Jehovah.
We wish to thank you, Brother Squires, and all those who worked with you in preparing for and presenting that absorbing drama. How we appreciate all the fine teaching we have received this morning. The noontime break will give us an opportunity to talk about this morning's program and to contemplate what's in store for the afternoon. We invite all 6,674 to stand and join in singing song number 8.